Let us bow our heads for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day your grace has made us to witness. Thank you for last week, your blessings upon us. Lord, we have come this morning to worship you again, which is what we have covenanted as long you have us here on earth. Thank you for bringing us. We ask for your blessings in this Sunday school. Remember the Sunday school teacher in Abuja that will help him and be with him, make him a channel of blessing. Lord, the rest of your servant put in Sapley and other places, may your grace rest upon them. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We remain standing, storing our scriptures. We are reading from Matthew chapter 17, then we'll read also from Ephesians. I mean 27. Oh, it's Matthew 17. I put 27 in one place, I put 17 in another place. Matthew 17, the first 5 verses. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Ephesians 1, from verse 1 to 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you, and please be seated. We just want to continue with the sermon we are on before, spiritual adoption. And last week, Sunday, we read the scriptures and spoke briefly about physical adoption, where the prophet talked about it and told us one of the things that causes barrenness, anxiety for a wedded couple, and one of the remedies that they have found to solve it is for the mother to adopt a child. Said if that is done, then the anxiety will leave the woman, and then she will have her own baby. And the prophet said, 9 out of 10 has been proven correct. And we read from two places on that last Sunday. I'm not going to read it again. But we read from Images of Christ in paragraph 31 to 37. And we also read from As the Eagle Stirred Up Her Nest. That was preached 1959, August 15, paragraph 16 to 26. And then, in the very sermon itself, spiritual adoption, we refer to where we saw one practical example in Bram Tabernacle, which was the very blood brother of Brother Bram himself, the student brother Jesse and his wife. They adopted a baby and they brought it for dedication. And we read the quotes from this spiritual adoption, paragraph 16, 22 to 24, and 28. And then we read some scriptures on that relates to adoption, the scriptures. We read from John 1, 12 and 13, Romans 8, 14, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, Galatians 4. We read to verse 9 from verse 1, then from 22 to the end. Then we came back to make reference to this Ephesians 1, 5, and also read from Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 5 to 12. Then we went to talk about the process, the preface or the background to adoption, picking it from predestination. Spiritually speaking, a child that is not predestinated can never be born, because that is where it originates from. And predestination is done by God's foreknowledge. And God's foreknowledge that leads to predestination, in between from foreknowledge, election, predestination, and then destiny. We heard that from the prophet. And then a child that is born then is also working towards adoption. And we read the quotes on that. From adoption part 1, paragraph 102 to 110. I believe that's where we ended the service last Sunday. We want to move further, because this is one side of the coin. That is a child that was foreknown by God and is elected by God and is predestinated by God and is walking to his destiny. But the prophet said there is another group of people which we need to just mention in passing. That so he used an animal as to analyze it, which is a mule. In all the creations, God did not create any animal that is called mule. Those other animals, we have more today in the name of all these hybriding and things. We have more animals coming out. We have liger that is a cross between lion and tiger. They call it liger. And you have some different type of dogs, which some of them are deadly. We have seen some even kill the owner. Kill the owner and so on and so forth. In the name of somebody having pets. Right. So let us read from adoption part 1 from paragraph 70. Let's talk about, he has nothing from the prophet about this mule. I said this from Brother Booth Clibborn, a friend of mine. If there is anything that's an illegitimate, ungodly created anything in the world is a mule. A mule is the lowest of all things. And that goes for every hybridization. He don't know what he is. He cannot produce himself no more. A mule cannot be bred to another mule and become a mule. What the prophet is saying is that a female mule and a male mule cannot meet together and produce. If they do at all, it's for pleasure, for life. There will never be any maturity. Nothing will happen there. Just water to water. Right. He's finished. He don't know where his papa come from. Neither does he know his mama. For he's a little donkey and a mere horse. That is the two. God never did that. Don't you lay such as that unto God. God never done that. God said everything shall bring forth of his kind. Yes, sir. That's Genesis 1:11. But a mule, his papa was a donkey and his mama was a mere horse. So he don't know what he does belong to. Just like Cain. Cain does not know his father. He grew up in a house. The person he is calling papa is not the papa. Not only that, even if knife is laid to the neck of the mother, she cannot take the boy to his father. Because his father is no more a human being that is standing. His father now is a snake that is crawling on the ground. How does he take him by the hand and then see the snake crawling and say, that is your father? What explanation will she give? So, and in that house, his behavior was different. Does he resemble the father's hope? Now that's actually why Yoruba used to suffer your man, Lene, you are a bastard. The reason why they say that, in some cases, they even say to a child that it's actually the father and the mother that gave birth to them, is when they see strange behavior. Though, it's because some people also don't think deep. Some, when they were young, they have acted like that. They have behaved like that. But because they have outgrown that, whether by natural growth or by spiritual help, and that is no more, and long years of memory loss, they no more remember that they were something like that. So that looks so strange to them. They now say, how can you be acting like that? Just you trace the history also. The prophet said one time, you no need to look too far. Look at inside first. And sometimes they also pick from grandparents, great-grandparents, to fourth generation like that. Those things still reflect. Let's go ahead. All right. Is a horse trying to be a mule? Or a mule? Is a horse trying to be a donkey? A donkey trying to be a horse? He don't know where it does belong. And is a hard-headed thing there is in the world. That word, hard-headed, is stubbornness. That is the word for is stubbornness. It says somebody is heady. What he or she wants to do, that's what he will do. I don't care what you do. Now remember, the prophet is trying to explain character. And just follow the prophet. Is the hard-headed thing there is in the world. That's the most stubborn. You can never put a bit of trust to him. Of course, when you see a manifestation of stubbornness, somebody that does not hear correction, you talk to some people, they'll be smiling. They'll be smiling. They will not say no. They will not say yes. But what they have in mind is what they will do. Plenty of human beings exist like that. Not just human beings, churchgoers exist like that. They just be smiling. They won't tell you no.
They won't tell you they don't believe. They won't tell you they believe. They just be smiling. They look non-offensive. But what they want to do, they will do. And, okay, let me leave that for now. And that is the way a lot of people are in church. You see, they don't know who their papa is. They don't know who their mama is. Only thing they know, they are either Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, or Pentecostal, or Message Believer, or something. They don't know where they come from. And an old donkey, you can just hold at him as much as you want to hold at him, and he will stand there and stick the prophet wanted to mention meal there. And stick their big ears out and look. You can preach to them all night long, and they don't know a bit more when they left than what they did when they come in. Is that not terrible? Is that not terrible? That you can sit down and preach for hours to them, and they cannot point to one thing from that service that they gave. That's what the prophet is saying. Now, that is just right. I don't mean to be rude, but I want to tell you the truth. You know, the truth is very hard. You know, everybody is silent now because it is a tough statement. But remember, I'm not the one making it, it's the prophet. And remember, the prophet is the one that God has sent to bring his word to us in this generation. And he's designing conditions. He's designing hearts. He's designing people. Who are they? I don't know them. But there is one thing they can do. They are good workers. Oh, they just work. That puts me in the mind of a bunch of these Arminians that is always trying to work their way into heaven. That's right, a meal. Oh, the ladies, a society, the chicken supper for the pay, the preacher, and we got to have this dance and this social. They just work. And they, what are they working for? Ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They stick out their ears and don't know where they belong. What do you mean? Where did all this? What do you mean? The Holy Ghost? I've never heard nothing about it. Oh, you must be kind of some kind of fanatic. See? They don't know who Papa was, who Mama was either. And you have to beat them on everything they do. You do. Beat out here and beat there. And beat here and beat there. That's right. An old meal. That is, you have to force them to try to follow instructions. They don't follow instructions. They don't care about what you say about church order. They have made up their mind what they will do, and that's what they will just do. No matter what you tell them, they satisfy what is in their heart, and that is all, period. When you tell them about this, say nothing is bad about that. Tell them about it, say nothing is bad about what is bad about that. Who is saying something is bad? It's not me. We only mention what we see in the world. And the reason why we are mentioning what we see in the world, it is because that it is this world that we have to dress all of us that want to meet Jesus Christ. And the reason for preaching is to prepare the bride of Christ to be able to meet Christ. Because the Bible says that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. So, and for you to see him and be like him, there must be the word of God that will go out first to remove from you everything that does not resemble him, so that by the time you see him, you'll be like him. The prophet told us that when Isaac, when was the servant, Eliezer, was bringing Rebekah to Isaac. He said, Eliezer was telling Rebekah why they were going that, this thing, your husband that you want to go and meet does not like it. He removed the earring and threw it. Because the one she wants to go and meet doesn't like it. As they move forward, I say, he also doesn't like eye issue. He removed the thing and threw it. Not keep inside the bag, but throw it away. As they move forward, say, but he doesn't also like short skirt. He removed that one and threw it away. That is how it was happening until Rebecca met Isaac. That is why when they met, the Bible says that Isaac loved Rebecca. Rebecca has not been with Abraham, has not been hearing the sermon in the church, but the sermon she had was on the way while they were coming. But she is the type that when she hears it, she will believe it and she will follow it. That was the reason why Abraham told Eliezer to go and bring somebody from there. Somebody who is predestinated, somebody who is elected, somebody who is for known of God, somebody that has the seed gem, somebody that when they hear, they will believe. Rebecca was not righteous in her father's house. It was while coming on the way that it was happening, and she was hearing the word of God. She was following, she was obeying. If it is the modern day girl, she will have rebelled and go back to her father's house. Which kind of a man are you bringing me to go and see? This one you know like, this one you know like, this one you know like. If you like say, where you are taking me to, there's no enjoyment there at all. Make her come back. But the type of person that was asked to go and bring is somebody that had the seed gem. Somebody that when he hear that this is what God's prophet said, and they know that God's prophet is God's mouthpiece, and they are the one that know the mind of God, they will carry the thing out 100% without asking questions. To those people, the deacon doesn't need to go and be examining their address to see whether it is long enough or not. They themselves, when they are buying it and when they are sowing, there is something there talking to them of the type of appearance they must appear. They are the ones that have something that is talking to them, but some people, even though they have had it several times, they have had their mind made up of what they will do. And let the preacher knock his head upon this thing until the thing bring it to bring blood. It's his own business. They will follow it. Now we are coming gradually, but just want that the picture will be clear. Is it getting clear? Right. But I tell you, you don't have to do that by a real thoroughbred horse. You see, just crank the whip over him one time, and brother is gone. Just tell him this is what the word said, that you don't need to talk much. Is that what the message says? That is, you don't say it two times. Hearing it once is okay for them. He knows what he's doing. Oh, how fine it is to ride a thoroughbred. How nice it is to say, come on, boy. Oh, man, you better hold tight. You will leave the saddle in the air. That is the way it is with real thoroughbred Christians. Hallelujah. Receive the Holy Ghost. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Gone. Just as quick as they can get to the water, they are gone. The eunuch in the Bible, today we have change of clothes. The eunuch in the Bible, we don't know whether he has any change of clothes inside his. He was riding on the way when Philip asked him. Philip was not asking for lifts. Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? He said, I cannot understand. I said, somebody guide me. Then, come up, the chariot. And then, they started going together. Then, he began to expand the scripture and begin to tell him. While he was telling, he told him of Christ that was promised in the Old Testament to come and do the work of atonement. And now he came and make it manifest. And God confirmed it, the message on the river, while John was baptizing, the signs and wonders that follow, and the rest of it all, the confirmation. He was following the sermon as Philip was preaching. And then he told them that believe him, that they should repent and be baptized in his name. As he was saying that one, when the sermon reached that one, then he was fine looking at water nearby. Say, Mr. Preacher, excuse me, here is water. You are just talking about water baptism now. Because while he was hearing what that preacher, Philip was saying, inside of his heart, repentance was taking place there. He was repenting He was regretting anything he has done or believed that is contrary to what he's hearing, which is the pure word of God. And while he was doing that one, God was looking at his heart, just as he did in Cornelius' house. And he saw water. Say, this is water. What hindered me from being baptized? It's not the kind that you have to pray. How old are you? You have never been baptized. This and that. Every other person has been baptized. When you have to come to water like that, I say, God help you. You just go in as a dry sinner and come out a wet sinner. Water baptism has to happen when you are convinced. Then it is you that are supposed to carry your mouth and go and tell the preacher, please sir, I want to be baptized. But if it is a mule, say I've been baptized before now, that one is okay now, that one is alright. There's nothing bad about that one. Me, that is standing here, I was baptized 3 times. I've said it before, I repeat it again. I was baptized 3 times. I was baptized one in denomination, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When I came to the message, and I saw that this is the truth, and after you, this and that, just much of it, the head knowledge, then the area of the repentance didn't really, I didn't think deep about that one at all at that time. So I went to be baptized. So as life continues, then it got to a point that I had what you call a good experience of repentance. Then I said, I want to go back to that water. So 2 times I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The first one, me myself, I discountenance it. Then that second one, if all the angels are standing here present, they can't talk me away from that one. Because I'm still remembering it as I'm standing there. May God be our help. Why? You know, a Christian knows who his papa was. See, it takes 2 to make a bath. That's right. Papa and mama. The mule don't know which was papa or which was mama. But we know who papa and mama was, for we were born of the written word of God, confirmed by the Spirit. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, if you will repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I always say, I will say it again, as long as we have the breath in us. Repentance to this journey is very key. That word repentance, sometimes it looks very elementary. But it's the major thing. It is the foundation on which the house is built. Otherwise, you are going to carry a rebellious nature along with you. Because the prophet said that the word repentance means that you stop and make a turnaround. If the road you are going before was the right road, you don't need to stop. You just continue. But when you see that that road that you are going, you are now convinced that it leads to destruction, then you stop. And then you make a U-turn. That is what happened at repentance. You are convinced that you are wrong and the word of God is right. Your actions are wrong. The word of God is right. All the things you rebel to God's instruction and things like that, they come plainly before you that if you continue like this, you are heading towards destruction. When you are now convinced of that, that is the, you now say, God, please forgive me. And for you to know, the prophet said there is an experience of justification. When you have true repentance and you are baptized correctly, you have peace with the Lord. That is an experience of genuine repentance, an experience of correct justification. Amen. A brother, a reborn again Christian, oh man, his spirit, as soon as he gets the word, he receives the Holy Ghost. Ask him something then. He knows where he is standing. Do you believe in divine healing? He will say, amen. Do you believe in the second coming? He will say, amen. Ask a mule that. The mule religion. Well, I don't know. Dr. Jones said one time, Oh, there, go on after supper. Oh, they don't know. Well, I tell you, my church is not sure of it. When you have an experience, it's no more my church. It's no more the pastor. It is what God said. God have used the vessel of the pastor to say it, and you yourself, you now read, he only pointed to where it is said and written, and you saw it, and then you now believe it. From that time, it's no more, the pastor now has left the picture. It is now you and God, because he has introduced you now to the world, which that is the ministry of the prophet. He said, my mission to the world is to forerun the coming world, introducing the bride of Christ to their husband, which is the word of God. Amen. Oh, brother. But a born again man and woman is just as sure of the coming of the Lord Jesus. They are just as sure they got the Holy Ghost, and there is a Holy Ghost to be given. Amen. Yes. That's the warning, right? Let's look at adoption part 3. Paragraph 56. Adoption part 3, paragraph 56. The prophet said, remember last Wednesday night, no Christian sins, but a sinner cannot sin. The prophet said, no Christian, he said, Christian sins, but a sinner cannot sin. A sinner doesn't sin because he's a sinner. That's his title. And that is his name. And that is who he is. From the waking up in the morning, whether he wake up 3 a.m. or he wake up 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever, to the time he will sleep, he is continually sinning. Because that is his nature, and that is what his thought is, sin. When he opens his mouth, he sin. His action is sin. No righteousness. Rabbi maybe said that if he does any righteousness, it's by mistake. Jesus said, I don't expect any good thing to come from you. Is that not his word? He said, because make a tree good, say the fruit will be good. That's all. All right. He's just a sinner to begin with, that's all. Here, take the back of this book, it is black. How much of that is black? It is all black. The prophet was using the Bible, and this is my own Bible, thank God, it's also black color. Alright. There is just no white to it. It is black. You say, this much air. No, it isn't. The whole thing is black. It's just all black. That is the way a sinner is. He is just condemned to start with. Know that the word? He that believeth not, what did the Bible say? He is condemned already. Because he does not believe, he is in condemnation. Alright. When you say, what about if he commits adultery? What if he ravishes some woman? What if he gambles? What if he shoots somebody? That is none of our business. That is normal life. That is none of our business. We got laws down here to take care of that. We are not reformers. We are preachers of the gospel. Listen close. If you do any of those things and the Lord catch you, you are on your own. You face the music alone. No call pastor inside that, because pastor no gave. Is that what the pastor preaches here? He said you can shoot. He said you can gamble. He said you can go and ravish woman. He said you can steal. Is that what you hear here? So when you go and do what you did not hear here, you are on your own. You and your family settle with the law. After you finish it, you still want to come to church, fine. But that one is not church business. So it's your own business. Amen. So what does he say? Does it mean that if a brother is in trouble, the church will not rise up? Rise up for what? The church is not a church of criminality. You have to pay, you have to reap what you sow. I know there is no amen. Whether you amen, you know amen, I know send somebody. The Bible says you sow to the wind, you reap the wine wind. That one does not have anything to do with predestination. You may be predestinated. You may be ordained to life. But before you get to that place, once you release yourself to Satan to use, you will still suffer for all those ones first. When you suffer for it, we will only be praying for you that God will make a way for you. Not be saying, I will go and be jumping up and down the police station to the criminal. Say, don't answer my house so that I can use to obey. You will stay there. But you will enjoy your stay there. And preach to the sinners that are in that place. Oh, my. God bless you. Right. We are not reformer. We are preachers of the gospel. We don't condemn him for what he done. We don't condemn him for committing adultery. We condemn him because he's a sinner. If he's a Christian, he wouldn't do it. If he's a Christian, he wouldn't do it. That is right. If he has been changed, he won't do that. But because he's a sinner, that is what makes him do that. We'll continue from there. When we come back, shall we bow our heads?
My blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives through our last week to see the beginning of another week. We thank you for your cares upon our lives always, provisions of our needs, protections, and your care, and all that you always do for us. We are very grateful for the services of the week and the blessings we receive from the same. Today is the beginning of another week. You have brought us once again to yourself. We have just sat down, we have listened to a portion of the message of our day. Thank you for our prophet. We cannot thank you enough for sending unto us a true prophet. Not only sending unto us a true prophet, but making us to recognize him and the message that he has brought. He preached the message recognizing your day and its message. We have recognized his day. We have recognized the message. We pray, O God, whether we play the tape, whether we hear preach in church, whether we read the books, in whichever way we are true to this message, may he continue to do the work of transformation in our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. This portion that we have heard again this morning, Lord, may he further your work in our individual lives, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. We are looking unto you for further blessings, when we shall call for the main service. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that has left him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.